Hello, everyone, and welcome to Healing Wednesdays and the Circle of 12. I'm Lee Carroll.
And I'm Monica Marani.
This is our once-a-month free program, and we appreciate all of those joining us from YouTube, my YouTube subscribers on my YouTube channel, and all those who are joining perhaps for the first time. A special welcome also to our Healing Wednesday members who receive one of these kinds of programs every single week, every single Wednesday, four Wednesdays a month. The members receive the replays also of all these shows, like this one, forever. And so the more shows we do, the more replays there are. And if you're joining us for the first time as a subscribing member, be sure and go back and listen to all of those replays if you choose to, all the healers we've had for months and months. Also, special members, in their portal, our members receive special things. There's audio tracks, there's special shows. We try to make it so that we give you as much as we can. So it's easy to subscribe. It's www.cryonmasters.com. Here's something I say to everyone. In a live stream, especially those who are receiving the chat room live, it's different from watching a replay or even a movie or anything on YouTube, because live streaming is just a little more taxing to the browsers. If there is a problem with your internet or our internet or anything, and it's hard to watch this show for any reason, please don't be frustrated. Just turn it off. Both in YouTube and also in our members portal, there is a replay, and it's going to be for our members shortly after the show. And for YouTube, it'll probably be the next day. But it's there for you to see. Please don't be frustrated. For those members, and I'll tell you this too, if we lose the stream, it's the same for YouTube, but if we lose the stream, it probably is going to come back. Sometimes we have had a situation where a power failure or whatever. Don't just give up and say, well, it's gone. Just wait 5-6 minutes, we reboot, you re-log in, and the broadcast continues. All right, that's all the technical things we wanted to say. The program, what it consists of, is this is your first time, is Mon and I talking a little bit, and then we are answering some questions from our member portal, and then we do some channeling from Cryon. Then we have a great interview with a healer, and then finally is the Circle of 12. So
that's all the formal business out of the way.
It is the formal business out of the way.
And I'd like to now move into the questions that we have received.
Right.
I've selected a few, and hopefully we'll have enough time to go through them. And if not, we're doing the questions every episode.
Yeah, and I spend a lot of time answering them because I want them to be complete. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if there's not as much to say, I don't. But I just want to let people know that the questions that are posed to me are posed because I am the Cryon Channeler, because there's just 30 years of work. And so there's a lot, there may be a lot to say, and some of it is not necessarily simple.
Yes.
The answers. And we have good questions, and they're simple questions about things that are profound and that need answering.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So our first question is from Aidan. Aidan is from the UK. And Aidan says, when I meditate, and particularly during Cryon's meditations on a Wednesday, I attain a really lovely, deep peace. And here comes the question. How can I easily get this connection without meditation? That's a great question,
it is.
Lee.
It is. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to learn this as well myself, because one of the first things I asked when I came into energy work, meditation, mm-hmm. all the things that we teach, when I first arrived at this, one of the things I said is, I don't have time. I just don't have time to do what I thought meditation was for. I didn't have time, and I knew it, to sit, you know, and for hours. And I saw this, and I thought, well, this isn't going to be for me, and I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. That's before I truly understood and recognized what meditation, in my opinion, did. You know, it's a process. Meditation is a process that lets you drop the barriers to your intellect, relax into your heart, and start to be peaceful and to feel the, I would say, the inner heart connection you would have with whatever, whether it's spirit or God or creative source. But truly, that's a process. So meditation is a process to me that allows you to get to that state. What I found for myself personally is there were substitutes for that. Now, don't write me, these answers are mine, you may not agree. I can do it almost instantly now. I can do it on an airplane with all of the fuss and the stuff around, with all the noise. I learned to do it quickly. And truly, it's just about simulating what makes me happy. You're going to hear me say this again in some of the other questions. What makes me peaceful? I go there. And as soon as I go there, whatever it is, I'm starting to feel that very thing that the meditators feel. And I can sustain it. Because once I'm there, it's not hard. I envelop myself and I cut everything else out. Are you one of those people who can focus on something so that when somebody asks you a question, you don't answer it because you don't hear them? I have learned to do that. So you focus so completely on the peace. Monica, we used to travel for a living.
Yes.
And you know that on a lot of the air trips, I was not I was not asleep.
No.
No.
And you weren't watching movies like me.
No.
You were simply having a deep meditation in your way.
In my way. So,
yeah.
And I know it didn't matter whether the airplane was a half-hour trip or a five-hour trip. I was able to do it, and it was almost instant. And
absolutely.
So I wouldn't recommend doing it while you're driving, but I have had that happen. Do I have to be careful? But I have got to the point now where I can simulate all of these things without, quote, meditating in that classic way.
And, you know, Lee, I'm reminding myself as I hear you speak, there are so many cryon channels that address this topic. Beautiful one that Cryon gave when we were in the Azores, when we were talking about meditation is like you get to a wall and you drink from a fountain that is there, and then you go away and you have to keep coming back to sustain yourself with that drinking from the fountain that gives you that peace. Here is what Cryon was saying. Go through the wall and bring that fountain back with you. Do you remember those
I do.
Channels?
This,
it was very specific information about, and another analogy was ringing on the telephone to connect, and it's just God doing heavy breathing.
Now we're going to get letters.
Yeah, probably, but that really is Cryon helping us in our own process of moving beyond the wall that keeps you in a state of when I meditate, I connect. When I don't meditate, I then have to come back to get the connection. And Cryon's advice really is bring it with you after you've meditated.
And live it. I think the example truly was, it's not a thing you go to and then you stop and you start and you stop and you stop. It can be 24/7. But there's a way where you can slip into your heart and all like that very, very quickly and not go to the process of sitting and meditating. By the way, you bring up something. We have hundreds of hours of free Cryon channeling. You don't leave your emails or anything. It's just free. And it's at cryon.com/free audio if you want to go there, and you'll discover years of free channeling. So there are a lot of answers there.
And there's a lot more of channels on meditation. However, let's just do one more question before our Q&A time is up. Harry from the Netherlands is asking, is there an agenda to enslave people?
I want to answer.
That's an interesting question.
I want to answer Harry's question the best I can. And some people may disagree. And here we are again. What I am going to give you is a combination of what Cryon has given, also what I know to be true, the logic of it, and it addresses also some, I would say, illogic in the conspiratorial things. There's a lot of conspiratorial where we're going to be enslaved and they want to enslave. There is no value in enslaving the people. There is value in controlling the people in certain ways. If you enslave a population, you don't gain anything. In fact, if you want to see the example of that, it's communism that didn't work. And again, you might disagree, but if you want to study what happened with the Soviet Union, it's not that their political system failed. They ran out of money. So here it is. It's not about enslaving the people. It's about controlling the abundance. I have a degree in economics. I'm just telling you that. I didn't use it before I became an engineer. It just got me through college. But the things stick with me. Money does not just lay there and is used. Money has to be created. And so what you want to do, to, if you want to control, it's all about greed. You know it does. It always goes down to the money. All of the conspiratorial, everything goes down to the money, controlling the money. When the Illuminati was popular and going strong in an older energy, by the way, they're having trouble now, a lot more trouble because of the internet, social media, it's hard to keep secrets. But when they were at their heyday, most of that was done through shipping. If they could control who ships to what and take a piece of everything that goes from A to B, that means they are controlling your money. You see what I'm saying? Watch out for governments that get in cahoots with the banks too much, because then they can control your credit cards, what you charge, how much, where you can bill. It's all about the money. So that is the conspiratorial part of it, and is probably valid to look for, not enslaving you, but enslaving how you spend, what you spend it on. And that then gives any kind of organization that would do that a piece of what you're doing. You're creating the money through the resources, through all of the things that do create the money, and then they start taking a piece of it. So that control, again, it's not an enslavement. That doesn't work, because if you have a system that enslaves you, they're going to run out of money, just like you saw before, because they're going to have to pay for you. They're going to have to pay for your eating, your lodging, everything. No, they want you to create the money like you always have, and then they want to control your, I would say, what you do with it.
Yeah, right. great question.
So I'm hoping that answers a little more. It's very real. And can I just wind this up? I said something about the Illuminati having trouble. Mm-hmm. This is right from Kryon. He said in an old energy, it was very easy because nobody knew it. Mm-hmm. Well, you did kind of, but nobody could see the details. Today you can. With the internet, with social media, you cannot keep any secrets. In fact, one of the things Kryon has said in channel, he said that there'll come a day when everybody can see and talk to everybody, and there will be no secrets. You know this. Almost all of the secrets that the government wants to keep, they're out there in a couple of days.
I think what I love about when Kryon was talking about the Illuminati and how the money will start to change, mm-hmm. And I remember asking a question to Kryon in one of the books that I wrote about Lemuria.
That's right. Yes.
And the health system that they had. Mm-hmm. And here's what Kryon said. When you figure out that when you keep your population healthy, you will have the most abundant society that there is. Instead of spending all the money on sickness and illness, if you have a thriving population where you have no one sick or ill or in hospital, everyone is productive, that is going to have an exponential growth in the abundance of the society. And so that's what got me excited, Lee, was that we are finally moving into something that makes, to me, common sense.
Yeah,
everyone should be taken care of. Everyone should be healthy, and that will have so many flow-on effects.
You know, this is going to get a lot of letters.
But probably.
What Kryon was going to, that in the future, the substitute for the Illuminati is an organization that's going to try to keep us as healthy as possible and as abundant as possible, because then they will benefit.
Yeah.
You do see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bottom line, for those of you who are into conspiracy and these things, follow the money. It's going to tell you a whole lot about why things happen and how it's being controlled.
Mm. Well, I think now we should move into a meditation and hear a channel from Kryon. I invite you to take a deep breath in through your nose, and slowly exhale out through your mouth. And with your next breath, I invite you to place your hands on your heart and feel this connection in your heart area. And as you breathe in and out, slowly, focusing on your heart, I invite you to think of a memory or a present moment of gratitude. What was something you had deep gratitude for in the past? Or perhaps we can simply focus on the gratitude that we have allowed this moment right now for us to pause and connect and listen to the beautiful, loving messages, wisdom, and guidance from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. I've always said this, that we know who is listening, and whether it is in that which you call live now, or whether it is a replay, or whether it's a year from now, again, I say to you, we know who is watching and listening. And it's in an extremely loving way. Picture for a moment those of you who have children, perhaps that they're grown up. And perhaps they have lives of their own and they're living there. Every mother, every father loves that time when the child calls. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you. There are some parents who sit by the phone or have it even close so that if that happens, they'll be sure and catch it. So if they're away, perhaps they'll have a way of taking the message or perhaps even having that live because they take their phone with them in a certain way. Do you see what I'm saying? Spirit sits by the phone. We know as soon as you tune in to these messages, it's almost like you made a phone call. And now we get to talk to you and you get to talk to us in a way that's with the love that you have that goes both ways. I'd like to start a series about compassion. This channel and the next three will be four facets or faces of compassion. There are many kinds of compassion, and we're going to talk about four related things, subjects, if you might say, facets, kinds of compassion. And they may be different from what you think. You'll see as we go. I'm telling my partner yet again that these four channels on compassion will be available for everyone, not just members. And that is the way of it. The channelings should be free and they will be distributed. There is a place for that. My partner has created it, and eventually all that happens here in the channeling sections of this program will be available to everyone. So when I say there's going to be four of these, three others will always be available. This is the first. Let us define compassion. Now, the definition of compassion from me will be different from anything you'll get in your dictionary, because we see compassion as the essence, literally, of the creative source. Love and compassion are the elements of God. Whatever you say God is, whether you call it spirit, creative source, or any name you wish, if you want to know the energy that is most central and most common and most powerful, love and compassion, those are the energies. Together, they form a benevolent kind of compassionate action that we will discuss in another time. Let me give the definition we wish you to hear twice. I'll give it, of how we see compassion. Compassion is the connection with the creative source, with God, with spirit. It's the connection with spirit that allows a meld of energy to happen for you, that would give you an open-heartedness, a mature benevolence, and understanding, full understanding of all that is around you. It's different, isn't it? So if you start to analyze that particular definition, you will see the sense of it and the logic of it, because it has several pieces and parts. The connection with spirit will automatically connect you to your soul and give you a piece of that compassion you need, then to allow a meld with the energies of open-heartedness. With a mature benevolence, not an immature benevolence, a mature benevolence, something that you get from the connection with spirit, and then goes into an understanding perception of what you're being compassionate about. That is a mature compassion. That is at the heart of everything we teach. The most common compassion would be compassion for others in your life. As you walk around as a light worker or even an interested spiritual person, you have to understand that compassion is the catalyst for everything. Compassion is the thing that moves you into a state of peace that allows for healing. Now, we're going to say that again. We're going to say it again in several channels. And the ones who are featured on these programs, the speakers, the healers, they'll talk about it as well. If you've ever talked to a healer and say, before you go into a healing session or you have another human report to you, whether it's long distance or in front of you, what do you do? And some will say, well, I meditate or I prepare myself. And then if you want to drill down a little more, say, well, what does that mean exactly? Prepare yourself. How do you prepare yourself? What do you do? And they'll start using language like this. I drop into my heart. I have a compassionate countenance. I clear my mind so that I can feel the love and the needs of the person I'm going to talk to, the one I'm going to balance so that they can heal themselves. This is the process for any healer on the planet, especially the ones that interface with other humans day after day or give readings to the humans to help their heart become less afraid and more peaceful. They prepare themselves. They drop into their heart. They throw away the intellect. They don't try to figure things out. They just are. Let me tell you something. How many inventors have you heard tell a story that their inventions came not when they were concentrating on the pieces and the parts of the physics or the chemistry? It happened when they were doing something completely and totally unrelated, walking down the street, perhaps going to sleep, and that's when the best ideas happened. It's the same process, dear ones. Compassion and love are the same. You clear all your countenance, and then you can start to have that which is a compassionate heart, and that leads, by the way, right into the ability to heal. Compassion for others is not pity. It is not feeling sorry for anyone. Compassion for another person is you pretending you are there with the answer. And so that is you in their place and not necessarily feeling what they're feeling, but going to them as though you could hug them. Even long distance, you have a compassion for others where you don't necessarily do much or feel that which is them as much as you're hugging them. You have a compassion for them like you would have for your child, perhaps, who fell down and bumped their knee. It's not about healing their knee. It's about holding them and loving them so much that they would feel from you something they didn't expect, perhaps something that comes from the other side of the veil. When we get to the fourth attribute, I'm going to explain this, and you're going to know more about that which we're going to name as a facet of compassion. But this is similar to number four. Compassion for others, the most common thing that you might have, is not necessarily becoming empathetic with them. In fact, that might even be dangerous. If somebody is in horrible sorrow because of the loss of a loved one, and you have the ability to empathize with that, that can affect you. You can see this. If they're afraid, that can affect you. You can see this. But if you stand apart and your whole job is to hug them, even long distance, or to be there for them, sometimes the best compassion you can have in person is to let them talk. If you sit there and love them while they talk to you, that's the highest compassion that you could have at the moment for somebody who is in trouble. If you're doing it long distance for a group who has suffered something together, imagine hugging all of them, giving them peace. What you're sending them and hoping that they can receive with an open heart is that which you receive when you realize that you're being hugged by the Spirit, by God, who knows your name. And so you might project onto them the feeling of peace and understanding so that they would get through whatever it is that they are going through. Or if you're looking at a group or a culture and you have compassion for them, you feel them being hugged through their trial so that they would have far less anxiety and would not be fearful. If you want to have compassion for the planet at this moment, as it works through the puzzle of what you've called the virus, what you want to project there is clear. Peace, understanding, lack of fear. You can do that. You can do that because you have the light that figuratively can be sent even to huge groups through the energy of your peaceful countenance and consciousness. Just lately on this planet, you have proved and continue to prove that consciousness is energy, a player in physics even. Now you know. That is going to be seen even greater as you go. That means that you, as a light worker, can have compassion for others that they can feel, that clears the field around them, that helps them to deal with what they're dealing with. Can you send compassion for the earth? Yes, you can. A group of you, even better, sending compassion. That you get through this without the fear, the anxiety, the things that will actually shorten your life if you're not careful. And that is the answer. Compassion for others on this planet, even one at a time, even planet-wide, bigger than you think, and is the true job and the talent of a light worker listening to this program. That's what you're here for. Consciousness changes this planet. Love is always the answer. I'll be back. And so it is.
And while we are still in this place of the energy of Kryon, let us set an intention that we carry forward this feeling of love and compassion, and that as we move forward, we continue to carry this vibration of joy, this frequency of love and compassion. Lee, I want to thank you for such a beautiful message from cry on.
Thank you. I think it's just I get excited about the fact that we're going to get three more on compassion.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely. And it couldn't be a more better theme from Cry On, because our next guest is focusing just on that very subject, self-love and how you do that. And it is Dee Wallace. And Dee, are you there?
I'm here, baby.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Was that a yes? I think it was.
I think that was a yes. I'm here.
That's great. This is exciting for us because we haven't been with Dee before. We haven't really met her. It's our first time, just like so many of you. Dee's important message to the world. And I want you to really listen to this, because mm-hmm. this just aligns with everything we teach so much. Listen to her message. Love yourself beyond anyone or anything else. Love yourself so much that you can't do anything that doesn't make you love yourself more.
How perfect is that message?
Let's just sit and listen to that for a while.
Absolutely. Now, Dee began her channeling healing work over 20 years ago, when she dropped to her knees after her husband's sudden death, and she asked for a way we could heal ourselves. Seconds later, she received her first message, which was this: use the light within you to heal yourself. And she has passionately been teaching the art of self-creation ever since.
Dee has authored 5 books on the subject of self-creation. Mm. Conscious Creation, The Big E, Bright Light, Getting Stuff, Wake Up Now. She conducts a live call-in internet radio show each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific and offers monthly webinars on a variety of creation subjects.
And Dee has spoken at numerous venues all over the world, including Japan, China, New Zealand, Amsterdam, Australia, England, and of course the United States and Canada. Now, Dee has also appeared on every major news and talk show. She's been featured on E, which I think that's the E Entertainment, and True Hollywood Stories and Oprah.
And before we bring Dee in, it's very...
A fun fact.
I'll just give you. She didn't want me to mention this, but I'm doing it anyway, just so you know. She wears 2 profound hats, and mm-hmm. you may recognize her as she is a Hollywood actress. She still is a Hollywood actress, and she was featured, of course, in E.T. as the mother. So I'm sorry I said that, but I wanted people to know exactly who you are so now they can relate, and she's a channeler of all of this work that she does.
Absolutely. So she's been in contact with E.T.s all along.
All along. Welcome. Welcome, Dee Wallace.
That was a good segue there.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Well, it's my great joy to be with you. And it's fine to mention E.T. And a lot of people follow me for Cujo and the Howling. And, you know, I'm kind of a dichotomy, because I spend half my life doing horror films and the other half... teaching people how to
heal from the horror movie.
From fear. Yeah. So, you know, I have an interesting and varied and exciting life. And it wasn't always that way. Mm-hmm. It was always exciting, but wasn't always balanced. I come from a very poor family in Kansas City. My father was an alcoholic most of my life, ended up committing suicide my senior year of high school. My younger brother committed suicide a year and a half ago. So a lot of tragedy and a lot of beauty and love. So again, I think that's the dichotomy of all of us, guys, is that yin and yang that we go through fighting ourselves. And when we truly move into loving ourselves in the highest way, we realize that owning all those old stories and keeping ourselves involved in all of the old stories and oh, well, I was raped, and oh, I was mistreated as a child, and oh, my dad was an alcoholic, and oh, I've never had any money. And, you know, as long as we keep telling those stories, we keep living those stories. And I want to discuss a little bit about, you see, I've always been a channel. All of us have always been a channel. When you were little, you channeled all the time. And then you learned that it wasn't okay and you had to fit into society and blah, 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 and all the stuff that we're taught that takes our real powers away from us. When I was 7 or 8 years old, again, my family was very poor. My mom had to work all the time. So I would spend most of my days into the early evenings with my grandma. And she and I were very close. She was my best friend growing up until the day she died. And I woke up one night and I said, there's something wrong at grandma's house and grandma's not okay. Now, my mom had to get up at 5:30 every morning to go to work because she had to take 2 buses. And I went in to wake her up. It was like midnight, probably. And I said, Mommy, wake up. Something's wrong at grandma's house. Something's not. And she said, what do you mean, sweetheart? I said, I just woke up and I just know something's not okay at grandma's house. We need to go see if everything's okay. Well, God love my mother. She got up and called and grandma didn't answer. And God love my mother. We got in the car and we drove over to grandma's at like 1:30 in the morning. And when we got in, the cat had gotten up on the stove and turned all the burners on. So the house was filling up with gas. Wow. And grandma was okay. Who knows if grandma would have been okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But those are the kind of things, you know, we tell our kids, oh, do you have an imaginary little play friend? Right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's all an early form of channeling. And what I want everybody to know is all the energy, everything hangs out right above us. And all of that information is open to absolutely anybody who asks. In the good book, it says, ask and you receive. What most people don't know, however, is that ask in the original Hebrew means claim or demand. Hmm. So it means this will be delivered to me. Not, oh gosh, if am I worthy? And if I wait long enough, if I do all the right stuff, then could I? That's not what it means. It means I am consciously choosing what I want. I am saying that I am the creation of it, along with the greatest creative force, because we're all one energy. And I am demanding now that this be delivered unto me. Hmm. So that's one of the premises that my work is based on. The most important premise is the I am principle. God said, I am that I am. I have to say I'm God if I'm God. I have to claim that definition of myself. I had to say, I am an actress before I could be an actress. So most of us don't really understand the importance of choosing our thoughts, our feelings, and our perceptions. We think thoughts are things that happen, and feelings are just things that happen to us that we get. It's not true. And the more consciously you choose what you want to think, what you choose to feel, and what your perceptions are that you want to own, the more your life gets created in the way you want it to be created. So let me start with everything is energy. You learned that in fifth grade. Everything is energy. Energy's been here from the beginning of time. It will be here forever. Energy must have direction. And if we are not directing energy in a conscious way, it will pick up direction from anything, from a television commercial, from the fear of your family, from old antiquated religious teachings. But it will accept and absorb and follow direction, whether you give it consciously or not. So anything that comes after I am is a direction to energy. You get up and say, oh my God, I'm so tired today. You are saying, I am the God of me who is tired. And the universe says, yes, master, I will match that. You get up and say, you know, I never have enough money. I am the God of me who never has enough money. And the universe says, yes, we will match that. You get up and say, I am powerful and I know and I'm clear and I love myself. And the universe goes, yes, we will match that. So it's incredibly important to know that it all begins with us. It all begins inside us so that we become in alignment with the very things we want. So if I want money, I don't look out there. I don't look at my job. I don't look at my boss or my paycheck first. I look within me. Am I in alignment? And am I the frequency of money itself? So I'm going to give you a really easy way to create anything. According to my channel, and somebody called into my show on Sunday mornings and said, Dee, who do you channel? I said, I don't know. Let's ask. And the answer was all thought and all possibility. And I said, well, that's my definition of God. So I channel God. But, you know, I think we all channel God, no matter what we call it, an angel, a guide, a certain name. It's all God because everything is energy and we're all part of the one energy, all of us. So I teach everybody to have a love place. And a love place is so easy. It's anything you think of that opens your heart and makes you smile. I go right to my doggy, Freedom. She's my soulmate. I think of Freedom and I just go, so everybody take a moment to find your love place. Animals are great places in nature that you love. Tiny babies. You see, all of those things are unconditional, aren't they? They're just where you go to feel love. So go to your love place, drop into your heart, and go to your love place and just really kind of wallow in that for a minute. And let's just say we're working on money. Okay, so you go to your love place, you take a deep breath in to the count of three or four, really push those ribs out, and with a smile on your face, you exhale while you're saying any mantra that you want. Let's use I am money. So deep breath in, smile. As you exhale, you say to yourself, I am money. Another deep breath. Smile. I am money. And the more excitement, the more love, the more feeling you have behind it, the more the universe gets it. Now, you notice I didn't say I want money. I didn't say I'm creating money. I didn't say bring me money. I said I am money, because we are all the creation of ourselves and our lives, all of us. The second principle I want to talk about is, as you believe, it's going to be delivered to you, baby cakes. Like Einstein said, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. What your belief systems are dictate the direction of energy in your life. So I tell everybody, go back to their childhood, start at the age of conception through about 8 years old. Why eight? Because scientifically they've proven that how we see ourselves and how we see ourselves in the world pretty much solidified in our brains by 8 years old. Mm-hmm. So if you keep running into the same walls and you can't seem to break through, I guarantee you it's because of belief systems that have been in place since you were little. And let me be sure to talk about this point, that most of us create these beliefs at a very early age, and then we build on them through our entire life. The belief always comes first, and then you see the manifestation of that belief in your life. So go back to the age of conception to eight. What was going on in your family? Staying on the subject of money, what did your parents tell you about money? Did they tell you, go on, Dee, make all the money in the world. You deserve it. You just make money hand over fist. You can do it. And it's beautiful. It's a fabulous thing to have all that. I bet not. I bet not. Because we're erroneously taught, and this goes back eons and eons and eons, when the popes and the kings and everybody got into bed with each other and thought, well, we can't let them know how much power of their own creation they have, right? So money has no consciousness. Money is a form of an exchange of energy. However, your consciousness gets to decide what to do with your money. And so when you know that you're going to share beautiful things with your family and be able to support all of the wonderful programs out there that you're interested in, like I donate a lot of money to the animals because I love animals. I donate a lot of money to tree people to help all of the forest fires and their demise of everything out here in California in the last 2 years. I donate a lot of money to save the children. And, you know, every time I do an acting job, I look for who's the person on this set that lives what I teach, that lives love and encouragement and tries to help everybody. And I always find that person, and I always, I just wrote it out just now. I always send them a tithe and thank them for living the love and the care that is so important in creating our world. So what I find from doing thousands now of private sessions, spiritual people are afraid of their power. And there, that is old religious beliefs being held over. And I'm coming forward to say to you today, if those of us who are conscious and who are expanding our love and our knowing of the interconnection of all energy, if we don't come forward in our power now, the people who don't know those things and are not interested in those things will. And then we want to sit back and judge them. But if we're not coming forward, then we have no right to judge the world that we are living in. The other really important thing for you to know is that whatever consciously you do in the creation of yourself, the more you love yourself, the more you look out and see a world of love, the higher integrity you are, the more dignity, the power through divine love you are. The more you are those things, the more you affect all other energy, because we're all interconnected. And so when the majority of energy comes together and really starts focusing on love and gratitude, compassion. Compassion, of course, according to my channel, is the highest source of love. Mm-hmm. And I have a great story about compassion. My heart doctor, I always get a physical every 2 years. I'm a big believer in preventative medicine. And he said, well, you know, there's some things on these tests we're a little worried about, Dee. There's some markers that are very concerning. So we want you to go in and do this big, I can't remember the name of it, but they put the dye in you and they put you through the tube. And and I was reading Dawson Church's Mind to Matter at the time. And he talks a lot about compassion in that book. And I thought, I'm just going to lay here and I'm going to love my heart. I'm just going to give my heart and me as much compassion and unconditional love as I can. And I got lost in that 30 minutes of experiencing that. So an hour later, I go to the doctor's office and I sit down. He goes, I don't know what to tell you, Dee. I don't know if we got false reports. There's nothing that we saw before is on this test of all tests. So I told him about what I had done. My heart doctor is a Sikh, so very open to hearing about my work. And he said, I believe that. I believe that we can alter our bodies through love.
Beautiful.
Now they've proven, now all the scientists that are working with this, Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, Joe Dispenza, they've all actually done scientific tests where they can prove now that most of what we thought was genetic is really because we keep telling our stories. And the more, I love the way Bruce Lipton, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm sure I'm not going to get it right, but he says, a body in love is vital. A body in hate or anger is threatened. Mm-hmm. Because this is our physical universe, our body. So every thought, every feeling, every perspective you have has an electrical signal. Our hearts are electrical. Our brains are electrical. When we feel something triggered by a thought, those electrical impulses shoot out into the universe and within to our bodies.
Dee, I want to tell you right now, the reason you haven't heard anything from us for all this time is we don't interrupt channeling. I can tell where you're coming from and what you're doing. All the points you've hit are what we teach. I'm so happy. This is just amazing. And we're in a situation now, and I don't want to run out of time. I want you to tell people about your show, about your website, and how they can...
Okay. Boy, it went that quick, did it?
Yes, ma'am.
My website is iamdwallace.com. Can't get much easier than that. I'm telling you guys, everything on my site is incredibly affordable. There are webinars and teachings of every single subject that you would want to have help discerning and expanding in. My radio show is every morning. It's a call-in, free call-in show, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. The easiest way is to go to the homepage on iamdwallace.com. Right on the homepage, there's information about the radio show and a link to help you get there. We do webinars every month. My one in February is February 23rd.
All right.
And it's on channeling.
Couldn't be more perfect.
It's just all of this. It's just... We certainly have had you at the right time to have the channel today about compassion and all of the things that Karine has said is that she has echoed.
Yes.
This is just this is what we teach. Dee, thank you. This is just awesome. Do you want to have any final words for our listeners and our watchers?
Yeah, just love yourself, guys. You want your life to change. Love yourself and love yourself and love yourself more because that's what it's all about.
I hope everybody... We'll take this program and watch it again. And just fast forward to her part. Just and watch this and listen. Write it down if you have to, because these are words that drip with profundity and truth for life and everything we are about today. So she has synthesized it in about 25 minutes of what I've done for 31 years. So this is really, really
thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the simplicity and the beauty of your message. And we are out of time now, so we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we will be back for the Circle of 12.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a nice break. I want to just say something. Sometimes you folks will see us being excited and talking to the speakers and our interviews, and that's because many times, if not most times, we are meeting them for the first time, just like you are. And so we're not pretending to get excited because we're on a set or something here on television. We're in discovery as well as you are. All of these profound things that we are learning from all of the healers, it's quite amazing.
Absolutely. And if you are a member as part of the Crying Healing Wednesday program, you have so many episodes that you can go back and play your favorite part, your favorite meditation, your favorite healer interview that we've had. And if you are watching this for the first time and it's on our YouTube for free. Mm-hmm. You also have many other episodes to go back and look at the playlist for our free Healing Wednesday program.
That's right. So once a month, we do this for YouTube totally free, mm-hmm. and we keep all of those.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to see this on the playlist. And of course, the longer we do it, the more there'll be for you as well.
That's right. And the only exception is that every now and then, there are 5 Wednesdays in a month. And if that happens, the 5th Wednesday is a vacation.
Right.
We say that for the members if they haven't heard that yet. We do
right.
4 Wednesdays a month. That is our absolute commitment to you. And we have that reciprocation because we just feel such a strong coherence of energy. And actually, Lee, I haven't talked about it before, but I feel that it's building.
Every Wednesday that
we are doing this, mm-hmm. I feel a building of energy. And it's from the global group that is participating.
I think maybe we'll do a Facebook Live someday that talks about that. It's, mm-hmm. it's such an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to waste our time here, but
we are
that
now,
is really, really true.
We're now ready to move into a meditation in the Circle of 12. And as we prepare to enter the Circle of 12, let us begin by honoring our journey that has brought us to this exact moment. Take a moment to silently give honor and thanks to your ancestors and to all of those that you have loved and lost. I invite you to feel them here with you now, celebrating your magnificence. Your soul is eternal, and it exists everywhere and nowhere at the same time. It is pure multidimensional energy. It is sacred energy beyond anything you could ever measure. The love part of your soul is what you feel and sense. You have the ability to integrate your soul. And as we continue towards the Circle of 12, let us affirm our willingness to connect with the God inside. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I am ready.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. For some months, I have been saying this. It's an expression that means something else. For you, in a linear way, it means step closer to me. That's pretty hard. Since you don't see me, that is, in the physical. So of course it means something else. And in that, it tells a story. And the story is this, that no matter who you are listening to this, again I tell you, you are known. Known by a very loving God that wishes you to come closer to that which is the source of you. And that is what the Circle of 12 is all about. The 12 being the structure of all things, the beauty. The 12 represents a philosophy, not a number of saints or of masters. The 12 is the philosophy that says that all things are structured in the 12. All things that are multidimensional, all that is physics, is God, that is there, visible or not.
is the structure of 12. And so in a circle of 12, that means that you are part of the structure. You are there together as the structure. And that's where the name came from. Hard to understand, too esoteric for you, too intellectual perhaps. It doesn't have to be. The instructions have always been the same, is to sit and be loved. Questions on how that is done. And that is also a metaphor. And here's how you do it. Don't analyze what I just said. Don't use your intellect to try to figure this out. Because a multidimensional source is not understandable to a single-digit dimensional being. It's just not. And that is why this, the Healing Wednesday meditation at the end of every one of them, takes you to an unknown place. Sit and be loved means to make vacant all of those thoughts of trying to understand and figure out and use your logic to see this or that, because it won't work. All of that which you are going to eventually see and figure out and be and feel is beyond your logic. God is beyond your logic. Many don't like that. They say, well, I can understand if you just tell me about it. It doesn't work that way, because there are things you do not know yet, because you haven't seen them yet. You don't know what you don't know. So how can you then take what you don't know as pieces and parts of a logic puzzle that you do know and figure anything out? It doesn't work. So instead, that we ask you, do you trust that which is the Creator? Can you be loved by that which is the Creator without asking how or why or when or where? Each one of these meetings is a journey on the other side of a bridge. Whether you can visualize it or not, or whether you just listen, it doesn't matter. Because the premise of every single one of these meetings is as follows. Your soul is eternal. All humans have a soul. That soul of yours is a piece and a part of the creative source. There are so many spiritual systems on this planet that acknowledge this, that the masters have walked around saying the very thing. You are a piece of the whole. Some have even said humans are made in the image of God, and that doesn't mean you look like God. The image of God is compassion and love, and you are made in that image. You are a part of everything that is. And yet, your linearity says that you have one life and you die and it's over. Not understanding. It's not. The vessel that you live in, the biology, it comes and goes. It renews itself. There are more on the planet who believe that than not, dear ones, because it is intuition. It is this, the first thing that you wake up and wonder is that, have I lived before because I feel this and I feel that? And the answer is yes. All of you are on a multi-lifetime journey. Your soul is the same every single time. You are eternal. In both directions means there was no beginning, any more than there was a beginning of God. And so all of this is to say, would you like to know more about you? Or would you like to simply stay in four dimensions and wallow in that which is fear and drama, not understanding, where the lights are never really quite turned on, and you always wonder about death? Or would you like to know more about that which is you, your soul, which is eternal, where the light gets turned on, and even though you may not understand it all, oh, you feel it. You know there is peace. Can you have peace without understanding it? The answer is, oh, yes. And that is sometimes for many an exercise over and over to try to find the peace that passeth passes all understanding. And you can have it. The bridge represents a journey, if you wish, between that which is comfortable for you and that which may be uncomfortable for you, because when you get into a multidimensional state, things don't operate the way you're used to having them operate. If you are able to move with me across that bridge just one or two times and actually put yourself into that which means you're closer to your soul, it may feel so unusual to you. And that unusualness is only because you've just never been there before. What if you were more magnificent than you ever thought you were? And that magnificence is not totally understood, but you recognize it's real. Can you see truth without having all of the minutiae of it? Can you say to a person, I know I'm part of God because I am that I am. I know it. And if then they say, well, prove it. That's tough, isn't it? Mom? Dad? Do you love your children? Prove it. And you'll say, well, wait a minute. That doesn't really work that way, does it, Crying? Because you can't then itemize and minutiaize and prove love. Nor can you, for the love of God, come with me across that bridge. I've told you about it before. You're about ready, if you wish, to cross into a place, if you wish to call it that, that you haven't really been before. Some of you and others can hardly wait because you have, over and over. Let's go, Crying. Let's go. Okay, let's go. Come to the middle of the bridge with me. You'll see a mist that you cannot see through. It's a fog, like a fog bank. It's a wall of fog. And the reason it is because what's on the other side of it is not really seeable while you're in 4D. You've got to go there before you can understand it or feel it or even begin to itemize what might be happening. Come with me. We stand at the mist, that wall of mist, all of you and me. Take the hands of the ones around you, if you wish, their family. Some are here for the first time. If you wish, take their hands so there'll be no fear of discovery, of something they didn't expect, something beautiful that they didn't know about themselves. Walk with me through the mist. Oh, the mist goes away, and now you are on the other side of the bridge, walking toward that unknown thing, which is the magnificence of you. Can you imagine that you're walking into your own magnificence, a part of you that never God explained to you or shown to you, but only hinted at? What does made in his image mean to you? When the masters tell you you're a piece of the creation, what does that mean to you? Welcome to something you did not expect. You, your magnificence, what you can do. And it's so big. It's so magnificent. It's so remarkable. Oh, there are things here that we've never mentioned at all, and how you can hear light and how you can see things you never saw before and understand eventually how the universe is teeming with life, and it's not just angels, dear ones. There's so much here that you know, your soul knows. Come with me to the theater. We've always talked about it, a metaphor. A place where you're going to have examination, discovery, love, a theater in the round that you're going to go into through a door, a portal, if you wish. There's a name on the door. It's your name in light. It truly is. A code, if you wish. A language you can't read, if you wish. It's you. And you walk into that theater in the round, a sunken theater in the round with a stage in the middle. You have to go down to it to get on the stage, and there's seats all around, and you go down there yet again. Every single time we go there, every single time. And sometimes the audience is not there, and sometimes it is, and sometimes that audience is coming in. and they're anticipating what's going to happen. Picture that yet again, because this particular time we're going to do an exercise in compassion. It's going to echo what you learned in the channel that happened a few moments ago. I want you to go up onto the stage all by yourself and sit in the chair. Everyone is seeing you, dear ones. And there are those who always want the minutiae and always want the details and say, well, if that chair is in a theater in the round, that means that part of the audience is to your back. Does that really make sense, Graham? And I would say, oh, how 3D of you. That chair is facing everyone all the time. Go figure it out. Multidimensionality is that way. You can be in several places at the same time. How about multiple yous in the chair facing everyone? How about that? Everyone can see your face. Trust me. And at this moment, all of you together, the family before you, dear ones, is everyone who is watching this program, everyone who ever will. It's all of your relatives and friends. It's them in their past lives. The amount of people who are watching this with you in the seats around you is enormous. How big is that theater? And the answer is yes. Those are the kinds of answers that you don't like when you are in four dimensions. You want to know the numbers and the particulars, and in a multidimensional state, there are none. It's very, very different. And that is the magnificence of the field that is there. And here's what I want you to do. All together, the audience quiets, and now there's an exercise. And the exercise is this. Everyone is watching you for the cue. And the cue is this. You're going to have compassion for one another right now, at this point in time on the earth. Because there are changes coming, and those changes are going to affect the light and dark balance of everything you ever thought you knew. Light is going to start to win, and in a compassionate way, this planet needs to be hugged to get through it. Right now, compassion for everyone on the planet, compassion for everyone who's sitting before you, they're having compassion for you. Together as a family, you start to hug one another. That's all you do. Remember when I defined compassion? I want you to meld, connect with the mind of God. Be understanding. Have an open heart to one another. And throw away all of the reasons why you think things can't happen. And instead, simply hug. Hug by the millions if you wish. And you can do that in an interdimensional, multidimensional state. You can do that if you wish. And all of you right now are with all of the others. And you are hugging one another in a way, perhaps, that all you see is oneness. It is the oneness of creation, because every single one of you represents a soul that's also eternal. And you as a planet are going to move through this, because those who have the light are going to hug the others who don't and get them through this so they feel peaceful and they're not afraid and they will emerge healthy. This is your job right now. This is the healing of the heart. This is why you came. And don't forget, the more compassion you have, the more your cells relax and start to change their chemistry and prepare for the healing you came for. Stay. Stay. And so it is.